Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Knowle Parish Church for our service of Holy Communion today. And a particularly warm welcome if you're with us for the first time or if you're visiting today. Everything you need for today's service will be up on the screens. If you are new, please do say hello to one of the team. We've got a welcome bag with all kinds of information about what's going on, and Knowle, we'd love to share with you. And after the service today, there's coffee and refreshments for everybody just outside on the concourse. If you have children under five, there is a special coffee time for you just today, just as we gather our parents of under fives in the lower guild house where the under fives meet. So if you've got under fives, look out for that. You can bring your older fives with you to that if you've got, don't leave them outside. Today, we are continuing our series looking at the foundations of faith. What are some of the key building blocks in your life of following Jesus? Last week, we looked at invitation and that choice to follow. Today, we're thinking about what that looks like in the choice to be baptized, the choice to place your life in the hands of Jesus. Before we say some opening responses together, I wonder, would you please close your eyes and let's keep quiet as best we can. So we bring the noise of our mind, the busyness of this last week, the hurry to God. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe upon your people this morning that we might know more of your grace. Would you call us out from where we're hiding? To be free before you today. We join in these words on the screen as we gather today to worship the one who created us, the one who calls us, the one who equips us, the one who loves us without end. So with joyful hearts, would you please stand with me and let us worship God.
Church, we're ready to bless the Lord. God is good, and all the time, yeah. Strength will rise. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. You are the comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like...
One more time. You are the everlasting.
You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not fade, you won't grow.
It's true. It's true.
You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are the strength which gives strength to the strength behind our strength. We bless your name, Jesus. Right, here we go. Let's loosen up, church. Let's have a bit of fun. Here we go. Tell me who.
Tell me who made all of creation. Who designed the wonders of nature. Whose idea was patterns and color. Wonderful to see that everywhere around me. I can see the hand of God, the evidence surrounds me. In the greatness of
everywhere,
cause everywhere around me. I can see the hand of God, the evidence surrounds me. In the greatness of His world.
Tell me who.
Tell me who made music and laughter. Designed our bodies to start with. Whose idea was thinking and feeling. Who gave life to me. Cause everywhere around me I can see the hand of God. The evidence surrounds me. In the greatness of His world. Cause everywhere around me I can see the hand of God. In the greatness of His work.
Key change going up.
Stop thinking, don't stop believing. God is to be found if you seek Him. All creation holds up His glory for eternity. And everywhere around me I can see the hand of God. In the gracious of His world, everywhere around me, I can see the hand of God, the evidence surrounds me, in the greatness of His world, everywhere around me.
Bless you.
Amen. Amen. And as we long to see you revealed, God, as we long to see your hand at work in our lives and in this world, would you meet with us, whatever age we are, here today? So our children leave for their groups. Would you meet with them? Would you bless them in their discovery of you? And as we rest here, would you come and meet with us too? Amen. So children and young people, it's time to go to groups. If you're age 0 to 5, you're in the lower guild house just opposite. 5 to 11s in St. John's Hall. 11s to 14s, you go up the stairs through the green door. Everybody else, please do stay here and we will explore more of God's word for us today. this moment of peace, I'm going to pray a prayer that often we say together, a prayer of preparation. You may know the words, you may not know the words, but I'll say these slowly as we prepare our hearts and minds again to hear God's word today. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts. By the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. That we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. As we're thinking about foundations of our faith and grappling with some of the basics and the beginnings, as we think about that choice that maybe you made to be baptized, the choice maybe somebody else made on your behalf to have you baptized, or that choice God is asking you today to be baptized, we're going to use the baptism promises as a way of confessing our sins. Often these promises are just said by parents and godparents at baptism services. But I invite you now to reclaim them for yourself today. They're going to appear on the screen. For in baptism, God calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. To follow Christ means dying to sin and rising to new life with him. Therefore, I ask you, people of God, do you reject the devil and all rebellion against God? I reject them. Do you renounce the deceit and corruption of evil? Do you repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbor? Do you turn to Christ as Savior? Do you submit to Christ as Lord? Do you come to Christ, the way, the truth, and the life? And we pray together. Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you give your faithful people new life in the water of baptism. Guide and strengthen us by the same Spirit, that we who are born again may serve you in faith and love, and grow into the full stature of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. So we're going to sing of God's holiness, faithfulness, and goodness to us, holy forever.
Shall we stand up, church? This might be a new one for some of you. If it is, just feel free to stand in the presence of God. We'll sing it through a couple of times. But he is here. He's with us.
A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb.
And all who've gone,
and all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb.
Your name
is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all
thrones,
all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever.
If you've been forgiven,
the greatest, your name stands above them all
thrones,
all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all.
Let's sing that again.
Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all.
All
thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation.
Because of the name of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus, because of the mercy and the sacrifice and the victory of Jesus, may Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. May he pardon and deliver you from all your sin. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness. And keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please do take a seat for our Bible reading today.
The reading is from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. That's on your Pew Bible page 1132. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Chris. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. So through the year at KPC, people have important events here. We call them life events, and included in that is baptisms, weddings, and funerals. Last week, we baptized two little ones, Elias and Sandy. They were baptism bros, and will be forever. They've been through that life event together. When we think of baptism, we think of water, probably. People are baptized in water, after all. So we use a sprinkling of water when it's little ones, and then total immersion, often when it's a kind of young person or an adult. But the way that the Bible speaks here in Romans 6, which is part of Paul's letter to the Romans, strangely, it sounds more like another life event. It sounds more like a funeral. Verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. What is going on there? To answer that, we need to look at Jesus' life events. He was baptized, yes. A wedding? No. A funeral? No. And we need to look at the life events at the end of his life to understand Romans 6. So we've got a little diagram, a little image here. So Jesus died on the cross. He really died. And then he was buried in a tomb. He didn't have a proper funeral, but he was buried. And then 3 days later, he was risen. He rose again as a physical body. He walked and talked and ate and touched and felt. And it's just what we've been marking and celebrating over Easter. And spoiler alert, we're coming up to Ascension Day. If you're not sure what that is, have a look. Look it up. Then we're coming up to Pentecost. If you're not sure what that is, look it up. More on that later to come in the coming weeks. But this turn of events up here, God the Son died, buried, resurrected. It was unexpected and new. This is something completely different. This was a different and compelling new drama never to be seen before. You know, when you watch TV and they're kind of advertising a new drama coming soon, and they make it look so compelling, and you're like, this is something I've never watched before. I've got to tune into this. The life events of Jesus at the end of his life, this was a new and compelling drama. This was not seen or expected. But unlike a TV drama that you tune into and just watch, or simply like historical events that we just mark as certain calendar dates in the year, this is a drama in which we are invited to participate in. You know, like immersive theatre, I think it's called, where you don't just simply watch the play as a spectator, but you actually become part of the play. As you watch, you become part of the cast. I've been to one of those. It's really confusing. You don't really know what to do. But it's a bit like that, probably, when we join in this drama. A bit confusing. We don't really know what to do. Jesus Christ invites us into his life events to share in them with him. And baptism is the moment or the marker when we say yes, when we respond to that invitation. It's the moment when we join the drama. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We're invited to join the drama of those life events, death and resurrection. For those who like diagrams, here's one, another one. And it illustrates that verse from Romans. So I'll just leave it there for a moment. But the top is Jesus and the bottom is us and kind of what happens when we're baptized. Let's just have a little look at that. But in baptism, we don't physically die and rise again. So what is happening? What is this new life? What is this old life or old self, as it's referred to in Romans 6? And we're just going to look at a couple of other verses from Romans 6 to help sort of look into this. So verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, and we should no longer be slaves to sin. Verse 11, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Our old self, our old life, was ruled by, dictated to by sin. And we were disconnected from God. We were in slavery. We like to think that we're in control of ourselves, but the sad truth is that we're not. Sin has a nasty habit of controlling us. And it's hard to make sense of. Sin is confusing, but it has a way of controlling us, of being a very cruel master. And so what happens when we join the drama of Jesus' life events? We die to that old self. We admit that we are not perfect, or in control, or have it all together. And we say we need a different way. And we are given a different way, a different option. We are raised to a new life. So that we can, verse 11, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And this life is a life that's connected with God, united with Christ. It's a life where we can have freedom, where we can have choice and make good decisions. Not saying we always will, but where there is forgiveness and healing. Now, this kind of dynamic of dying to your old life, being raised to a new one, being dead to sin and alive to God, it's not achieved through our own merit. This is not our death and resurrection story. It is his. It's him, because we are choosing to be united with him. Will we still sin in this new life? Maybe that's the question going on in your mind. You're thinking, I think I'm living this new life, but it doesn't look like that. Will we still sin in this new life? Yes. But because we are now united with Christ in his life events, we can stand with our head high this morning and count ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God, because we are in Christ Jesus. So we say goodbye to our old life and we start walking into a new life in Christ. And by the way, just wanted to say that this dynamic of kind of joining the drama can happen inside of us. It doesn't necessarily always happen at the moment of deciding to be baptized. Baptism is the kind of outward, tangible marker. But we can have already have joined in with Christ in our hearts before that moment, if that makes sense. Like, that happened to me, and I'm sure it happens to lots of other people. God knows the heart. It is a heart thing. And this new life that we're walking in when we join the drama, when we get baptized, it's a new life now, but it's also a foretaste of the life that is to come. Because we are united with Jesus in his death and resurrection now, we are going to be raised to new life with Jesus then, when we physically die. The life we live now is a foretaste of the life that will be one day. And there's a lot I don't know, but it's going to be amazing. I do believe that. When Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit and wrote this passage, he had in mind another drama as well from the Old Testament. I wonder if you can guess the drama looking at the picture. It's the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. That's what he had in mind when he was writing this. So the Israelites were held captive. They were held in slavery in Egypt for a long time, trapped. And then led by God and Moses, they left their old life in Egypt and walked into a new life of freedom. Was it easy and straightforward? No. Did they sometimes want to go back to Egypt where things were familiar? Yes. But God was leading them in a new life of freedom. Like the Israelites who passed safely through the Red Sea to freedom, we pass through the baptism waters into a new life. Maybe it seems dramatic, kind of thinking of it in those terms, but I think it's meant to be. I think this is meant to be a dramatic moment. I think God wants us to make this connection. In baptism, a major life event happens. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. I wonder if you ever go on to the update section on WhatsApp. There's a little bit at the bottom that says updates. And when you go on there, you can update your status. That usually means posting a photo of whatever you're doing at the time. And when I go on holiday, for some reason, I've just got into this habit of enjoying posting a status update to share with whoever's in my WhatsApp contacts, apparently, to see what I'm doing. If you've been baptized, I wonder, have you updated your status? But the thing is, it's not just a temporary update. Like on WhatsApp, it only lasts for 24 hours. The picture's there and then it's gone. Your status has changed. Being in Christ, being buried in baptism, is a permanent change of status, not a temporary one. Today, maybe you are living your new life. Maybe you have been living this new life for a while, but you feel the trappings of the old. sin still feels like it rules you. You don't feel like your status has changed. But I'm here to say that in Christ, you are a new creation. You are dead to sin and alive to God. And when we're walking in this new life, there may yet be lots of mini deaths and resurrections. It's like the pattern of Christ becomes the pattern of our own life. And you might be in a difficult place right now. You might be at the height of resurrection right now. But wherever you are with him. You are united with him. With Christ, every day is a new day. Every day is potentially a resurrection day. Maybe you're living your new life, but you find yourself looking a bit longingly at your old life, kind of fondly. There's a song that I love. It's called Painting Pictures of Egypt. And here are some lyrics. The past is so tangible, I know it by heart. Familiar things are never easy to discard. I was dying for some freedom, but now I hesitate to go. I am caught between the promise and the things I know. I've been painting pictures of Egypt, leaving out what it lacks. The future feels so hard and I want to go back. But the places that used to fit me cannot hold the things I've learned. Those roads were closed off to me while my back was turned. There's a sense in which maybe sometimes we do paint pictures of Egypt, an imagined Egypt, but we can't go back. And actually, when we think about it, why would we want to? The old life may be familiar, but it is not one of freedom. So have courage and take heart as you continue to walk in the new life that you have in Christ. Maybe, finally, you're standing at these crossroads, and maybe you're only just realizing that there are crossroads. There is a new life and an old life. This old self, new self is like completely new language to you. And you're thinking, do I change direction? Do I choose this new life? Do I join the drama? Do I join Jesus? Is it going to be worth it? I 100% think it is. Of course I'd say that. But maybe you're in a place where you still just need to come and see. Just accept that invitation to come and see for a while longer. Or maybe you are at a place where it is time to take that sort of decisive step into that new life. A step from which you can't go back, actually. So how will you respond today? I'm aware that this talk will leave us in different places and it will be landing in different ways for us. So I've just got three ways that you might respond going from here. So the first one is, if you've not been baptized yet, is it time? Is it time for you to be baptized? Speak to a member of the clergy, to Jeff, to Steve, to myself. Were you baptized or christened as a baby? We only get baptized once. So your step might be confirmation or a reaffirmation of your baptism vows as a way to say, yes, I do want to walk in this new life that I've been given. And we'd be happy to have a conversation with you about that. Secondly, if you have been baptized, maybe recently or maybe a long, long time ago, remember your baptism. Remember this life event. And by that, I don't mean what you wore or what you said or who was there or the cake that you ate. Although you might like to remember those things. It's nice to think about. I think I mean more remember what it means, what it actually means. Spend some time with this passage. Count yourselves, again, dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And finally, an invitation to us all today, wherever we're at, to come to the table. Jesus called his followers to those two things, to baptism and to eat and drink in remembrance of him. Those are the two things that Jesus called us to. And so come to the table. We're going to be celebrating communion a bit later. Come and receive communion if you've said yes to joining the drama, or come and have a blessing. However you come, coming is a way of receiving Jesus' invitation to come and see, to come and receive. Come and encounter him and draw close to him. We're going to do that a little bit later. I'm just going to hold a moment of silence as you sort of ponder your own response. Your life is not your own. It is hidden in Christ. Wherever you are today, you are with Christ. You are never alone. You will never be alone because you are united with Christ. And that you can count yourselves dead to sin. And alive to God. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. Thank you that you invite us into that drama, to participate, to be united with you, to share with you. Thank you that with you every day is a possibility of resurrection. Thank you for new life after death. Thank you for moments where we can come to you like this. Thank you that you are here. Amen.
We're going to stand and sing an oldie but a goodie. I am a new creation, no more in condemnation, before we take communion. Could I have my communion assistants please to come up as well today?
Here we go. Let's bless the Lord. I am a new creation.
I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand.
My heart is overflowing.
My heart is overflowing. My love just keeps on growing. Here in the grace of God I stand.
And I will praise,
and I will praise you, Lord.
Again, I am a new creation. I'm coming to get you.
I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. My heart is overflowing. My love just keeps on growing. Here in the grace of God I stand.
And I will praise,
and I will praise. Joy that knows no limits, a lightness in my
of God I stand. Here in the grace of God I stand.
Here in the grace of God I stand.
One more time together.
Here in the grace of God I stand.
Bless the Lord.
And so we sit or kneel to continue in prayer.
When I say, your kingdom come, can you please respond, your will be done? We look across God's world. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul writes this. He says, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, derives its calling. Every family in heaven and on earth. Lord, as we consider our troubled world, give us understanding of how you see the peoples of the world today, remembering your original promise to Abraham that through you and your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And so we think across the Middle East, Israel, Palestine, Iran, as well as places like Sudan and Haiti. Can we hear God's heart and God's desire that all the nations be blessed and that every family derives its name from him? And so we pray a heartfelt, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. We pray for our own country in this time of local and later in the year, national elections. We pray for wisdom and compassion to prevail, and for men and women of good character and faith to be elected. And Lord, we pray for your church, especially here in the UK, that your gospel of truth and hope may be clearly communicated in ways that will be heard. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And here at KPC, we remember the people who are named on our notice sheet. Peter Thompson, recovering from an operation. Sam Long, currently in hospital for his full recovery. Deb Dubar, recovering from severe burns. Janet Stewart, needing further chemotherapy. Sue Ralph, recovering from a hip operation. And Adrienne Curtis, in the next stages of her cancer treatment. And we commend to you also the funeral of John Atkins on Tuesday. We pray for his wife, Jenny, and the other family members. And we pray today for our annual church meeting next Wednesday, at which we'll be electing or confirming various church officials. And also we'll be celebrating what you, Lord, have done among us over the last year, and looking in faith to where you would lead us. Lord, may this be an opportunity for as many of us as possible to reaffirm that this is the church to which you have called us to be and the place you have called us to serve. So in the light of our calling together to be Knowle Parish Church, let's pray our mission prayer collectively and for one another by saying we and our in place of I and my, and hopefully it's coming up on the screen. Lord God of mission,
fill our lives with your spirit
that we may become more like Jesus. Make our lives to shine with your light. May our hearts be humble, our actions generous, and our words sensitive. Fill us with longing to share your good news, so that through all we do and all we are and with all we meet, may Jesus be known and his kingdom established. Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much, Roy. As we gather at Jesus' table today, we remember the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. These words will appear on our screens. Let's try that one more time. The next one. Okay, the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. So lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ our risen Lord. So with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise, and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." And as Jesus taught his first disciples, so we pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. If you have been baptized and would like to follow Jesus, we invite you to come and receive communion bread and wine in one of our four stations for today, as directed by the sides team. Gluten-free wafers are available at each station. Non-alcoholic wine here at the front. If you'd rather just come for a special prayer of blessing, please do keep your hands by your side. We'd love to pray for you. Or if you'd rather remain in your seats, that's fine too. As for now, please draw near in faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. The body and blood of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body and blood of Christ broken for you. The body and blood of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body and blood of Christ broken for you. The body and blood of Christ keep you in eternal life. The body and blood of Christ broken for you. The body and blood of Christ keep you in eternal life. St. John's Chapel with Bonnie.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life, yes it is. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. In the darkness over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak his holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing.
Merciful Father, you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Good Shepherd, and in his love for us to lay down his life and rise again. Keep us always under his protection. Give us grace to follow in his steps, that we may seek those things which are above, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Few things just to share with you before we sing our final hymn. The first is that, as we prayed for today, this coming Wednesday is our annual parochial church meeting. It's at 7:30. It's in the hall. There will be wine and the opportunity to vote for people to join our church councils and to take part in the running of the church. An opportunity to look back and celebrate God's faithfulness and all he has done, and look forward in hope and to pray for all that will be coming up. If you consider yourselves part of our church family here at Knoll Parish Church, I would encourage you, please do come on Wednesday. That's at 7:30 in St. John's Hall. If you're not yet on the church electoral roll as well, and you would like to be, it's a mark and a sign of membership here at Knoll Parish Church. Do follow the links on our church website. So that's Wednesday. Next Sunday, we welcome the new Bishop of Birmingham to our deanery. Bishop Michael Volland has recently become the Bishop of Birmingham, and he's coming to a welcome Songs of Praise service at St. Alphage in Solihull at 4 p.m. So that's 4 p.m. next Sunday. Come and welcome the new bishop. Some of our musicians will be along there as well. We hope to be able to celebrate that service in style. It's going to be a Songs of Praise service, so we might even get to know what his favourite song or hymn is. And then, just to flag up, that we've been promoting the KPC Summer of Sport. More details about that coming up, but in particular, starting with the Knoll Fun Run on the 19th of May. We have got various people looking to run. If you would like to run, you don't have to be very good at running. You just, well, if you want to start training now, there's only a month to go. Well, there's a month to go. You've got loads of time to get ready for a 5K. We've also going to, we're offering ourselves to be helpers to bless the village through this, hosting the water station at Arden, a new Jelly Babies food station by the church, and some marshals as well. James Thorne is here. Stand up, James. James is going to be outside. Help if you want to find out more ways in which you can connect, either by running or by helping on the day. He would love to hear from you. That's Sunday, the 19th of May. Look out for that. It's my privilege today to be able to publish Banns of Marriage. This is for the second time of asking. Here they are between Elizabeth Gillian Jackson and William David Graham. They're both of this parish, but marrying elsewhere. This is for the second time of asking. If anybody knows any reason why this couple may not lawfully be married, would you please declare it now? Wonderful. Let's pray for them, for all the weddings in this place this year, for our life events, as Emily led us through. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for William and Elizabeth, for all whose banns have been called today, for all who will be married in this church this summer. May you grant them a deepening conviction of their love for each other and of your call on their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand for some final prayers of commissioning today? This is something we often say in a baptism service or in a confirmation service. And as people who have been thinking about our life with Christ, I invite you to stay and stand and join in these responses with me. Would you please stand? For those who are baptized are called to worship and serve God. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all people, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you acknowledge Christ's authority over human society by prayer for the world and its leaders, by defending the weak, and by seeking peace and justice? So this day may Christ dwell in your heart through faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, and bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our final song of praise is "The Lord Bless You and Keep You." During this song, our collection for the work of the church will be taken. It's an offering of saying thanks to God for all he has given us and what we give back to him. We recognize people give in many and various ways. And if you've got children or young people in our groups, now is the time to collect them too. We sing, "The Lord Bless You and Keep You."
The Lord bless you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Let's sing that again. The Lord bless.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
nations,
and your families, and your children,
and the children. May His presence, may His presence go before you.
Lord, take and you these and all our gifts in your service and for your glory. Amen.
And within you, He is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, He is for you, He is for you. He is for you, 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 He is for you. Let's sing Amen. Amen. Amen.
May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest on you and all whom you love, pray for, and care for, this day and forevermore. Amen. If you want to continue praying with somebody today, our prayer ministry team are available in the chapel to my left, your right. Come and continue to do business with God. And let us go in peace to love, to share, and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you very much for worshiping with us today. See you again next time.